KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:02, it's partly cloudy and 29 degrees here in Atlantic. We're looking for skies to be clear to partly cloudy today with a high near 40. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Well, for the second time in about 3 months, someone has released horses from an animal rescue facility near Glenwood. According to Omaha television station WOWT, someone opened the gates at the Hooves and Paws Rescue Shelter, letting loose the horses, endangering not only the animals' lives, but those of motorists traveling on a nearby highway. All of the horses were returned to the corral, but Hooves and Paws owners Bill and Gina Stoops aren't so sure that they will stay put. The couple got a frantic call Tuesday morning warning them that the horses were out and dangerously close to the highway. Fortunately, the recovering horses couldn't travel very far. Bill Stoops told the TV station that all he had to do was shoo them into the corral and shut the gate. Three people also stopped by to lend a hand. Stoops said the next time someone tries to set the horses free, he'll be ready for them. He says heavier chains and locks have already been added, and security cameras are being installed. The Mills County Sheriff's Department is investigating the incident, along with the reported theft of at least two cameras stolen from their mounts on a nearby recreational trail. News time is 8:03.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Proceedings in the Iowa House will be streamed live over the Internet when lawmakers begin their legislative session next month. House Speaker Craig Paulson says six high-definition cameras have been placed in the chamber, offering people direct access to the debate. Paulson, a Republican from Hiawatha, called it an openness transparency issue. Video won't be streamed when the House is recessed or in the midst of a long break. The initial cost of the new service was about $130,000. Senate Majority Leader Mike Gronstall, a Democrat from Council Bluffs, said there are no similar plans for a similar move in the Senate because of lighting and other issues. Gronstall said it may be considered, though, in the future. The session begins on January 9th. Tonight's city council meeting here in Atlantic will mark the last time that two members of the council will serve the city in their current capacity. Mayor Dave Jones will make proclamations recognizing 3rd Ward Councilperson Pat Simmons and 1st Ward Councilman Kern Miller for their many years of dedicated service to the city and present them with plaques in appreciation of their work. Simmons and Miller opted not to seek re-election last month. Ashley Hayes and Chris Jimerson were unopposed during the election to fill Simmons and Miller's seats on the council. Simmons has served a total of 16 years on the council, while Miller has served three consecutive terms. In other business, the Atlantic City Council this evening will hear a semi-annual report from Street Department Superintendent Daryl Anderson and a request from Atlantic Police Chief Steve Green for a supplemental appropriation to his budget amounting to a little more than $15,200 for unbudgeted expenditures. One request covers new service boards and upgrades for the city's sirens so that they will be in compliance with the new narrow banding requirements. The other covers a new computer server for the police camcorder units, since the old server is not compatible for use with the new camcorders used in the squad cars. The city council meeting begins at 5:30. About 10 people showed up at Monday night's meeting of the CAM School District's Board of Education. Those who were in attendance had a chance to hear a report on the possible partnership with Connections Education to form a free K-12 online learning center within the district. CAM Superintendent Steve Pelzer told KJAN News Tuesday that the meeting, which was part of the regular school board session, was a chance for people to find out what the district's learned so far about the online school. And he says while the turnout was low, those who did attend the meeting were interested in the topic.
Some of them weren't even from our district, but had read about it and decided they'd come over and, you know, see what was going on.
Pelzer said those who listened to what was said seemed to have favorable comments about the program, which would operate independently of the CAM District's educational program and would serve students statewide in the open enrollment process. He said before they can make a decision, though, there are a couple of issues that need to be addressed.
One of it is the funding issue that we have to get the opinion of the Department of Ed as far as whether the program will qualify as a fully funded program.
They're also waiting to hear from the district's attorney with regard to a products and services agreement with Connections.
It's kind of a waiting game right now. I'd say the board's still interested in moving forward. We just have to have some things answered first.
A decision on whether the district should partner with Connections will have to be made prior to the March 1st deadline for open enrollment applications. Members of the Griswold School Board met Monday night as well, voting to enter into an agreement with Estes Construction to manage a roofing project slated for the high school and middle school building. Superintendent Dana Kunze said Tuesday the board had been exploring fixing the roof for some time, and it's at the top of their priority list to get it taken care of before they take on other projects. Kunze said an early estimate puts the cost of the project at $1.2 million.
We are going to fund that by bonding against our penny sales tax. We have a revenue purposing statement that now allows us to do that bond into the future.
Kunze said also the Griswold School Board Monday discussed the transferring of a deed to about 5 acres of school property on the north edge of Elliott to the city of Elliott for a wetland project. Marshy land is an ideal natural means of filtering nitrates out of the city's drinking water. Action on approving the deed transfer is expected to take place during the board's meeting in January. The land has been owned by the school district for more than 100 years. In other business, the Griswold School Board Monday agreed to have Red Oak Awning and Glass handle the replacement of glass at the district's buildings in Elliott and Lewis.
Another entranceway on the Elliott building, the north east entrance there, and to kind of finish the what they call the storefront on the Lewis building with new replacement glass.
The new glass will solve some problems with water leaking into the buildings and is energy efficient. An expert panel says the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers was not to blame for record Missouri River flooding this year, but that changes could help to avoid a disastrous repeat. A report released Tuesday by the Corps said the current manuals and procedures could be improved and updated to recognize the more recent weather extremes following unprecedented levels of runoff that could not be predicted in advance. The Corps has said that the floods caused $630 million in damage to the levees, dams, and channels built to control the river. The Army Corps of Engineers manages the 2,341-mile-long river, which flows from Montana through North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, and Missouri. One recommendation from the experts calls for improved monitoring of pending snowmelt in the Plain States. Elsewhere in western Iowa news, Sioux City police are looking for a suspect in an attempted assault on a 16-year-old girl who was waiting for a bus. Police say the attack happened Tuesday morning. The girl told authorities an unknown male grabbed her from behind, covered her mouth, and threatened to hurt her. She escaped when a car passed and the attacker released her. The teen ran home and was not hurt. Detective Troy Hansen said the suspect had a mask or scarf over his face and police are looking for witnesses. Hansen says he doesn't know if the girl was waiting for a bus to take her to school or another location. Taking a look at national news headlines of this hour, the Federal Aviation Administration is expected to issue new rules today for pilots flying while sleepy. Federal investigators have been pushing for decades to stop fatigued pilots from flying, but the effort was revived following the 2009 crash of a regional airliner in Buffalo, New York, that killed 50 people. A federal investigation found that both pilots probably were sleep-deprived. House Republicans want more negotiations with the Senate on a payroll tax cut extension. Democratic leaders in the Senate say that won't happen until the House passes a two-month extension that senators said okay to last week. If there's no end to the stalemate by the end of the month, not only does the payroll tax go up for some 160 million workers, but there will also be a lapse in jobless benefits for some Americans. And a Chicago man faces charges of abuse after police say he posted a photo on Facebook that shows his young daughter's hands, legs, and mouth bound with blue tape. The photo has since been removed. Police say it was apparently accompanied by the words, "This is what happened when my baby hits me back." 21-year-old Andre Curry will appear in domestic court today for alleged aggravated domestic battery. News time is 8:11.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In the funeral announcements, Mary Jane McKee, age 88, of Stewart, died Sunday at the Stewart Community Care Center. A funeral mass for Mary Jane McKee will be this morning at 10 o'clock at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Melford J. Shelley, age 84, of Guthrie Center, died Saturday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Melford Shelley will be this morning at 10 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center, with the Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center in charge of arrangements. Irene Wilhelmina Malberg, age 87, of Erling, died Sunday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A mass of Christian burial service for Irene Malberg will be today at 10:30 at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Erling. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Calvin Eddie Leaders, age 53, of Council Bluffs, died Friday at Mercy Hospital in the Bluffs. Funeral services for Calvin Eddie Leaders will be this morning at 10:30 at the Minden United Church of Christ. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Beulah Schultz, age 88, of Greenfield, died Saturday at the Adair County Hospital. Funeral services for Beulah Schultz will be this morning at 10:30 at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Maxine Karsbecken, age 92, of Griswold, died Saturday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Maxine Karsbecken will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold. The Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Joan Beyer, age 87, of Greenfield, died Monday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Joan Beyer will be held tomorrow at 1:30 at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Wayne Hopping, age 83, of Oakland, died Monday at the Oakland Manor Nursing Home. Funeral services for Wayne Hopping will be on Friday at 10:30 at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Recon Beath Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Louis P. Lauritsen, age 88, of Farmington, New Mexico, and formerly of Audubon, died Monday in Farmington. Celebration of Life Memorial Services for Louis Lauritsen will be held at a later date. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Ronald Rehfeldt of Oakland died Tuesday. Funeral services for Ronald Rehfeldt are pending at the Recon Beath Funeral Home in Oakland. And Mervyn Schaff, age 95, of Harlan, died Friday at the Elmcrest Retirement Home in Harlan. Funeral services for Mervyn Schaff are currently pending at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Our news was brought to you by First National Bank, with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Henson reporting.